Now, beginning in chapter 15 and chapter 16, we have another prophecy telling about the doom and the destruction of Moab. There are a lot of names given in this 15th chapter that are difficult to place because you look them up in the dictionary and it just says a city in Moab, found in Isaiah 15, which doesn't tell you very much other than what you already know here. So I'm not going to try to give a lot of detail about some of these cities that are mentioned because we don't know any of the detail. We do on some, but not on all of them. Well, let's look for a moment at the people of Moab. Now, Moab lied. The country of Moab lay immediately east of the Dead Sea. As we could look on the map, which we don't have one up here, but the Dead Sea coming down south, right immediately east of the Dead Sea was the country of Moab. It was a very productive land. It had some very green and productive pasture land, so I understand. And these Moabites were actually kin to the people of Judea because they were the descendants of Lot. You remember the story of how Lot, after they had escaped from the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, his two daughters got him drunken and they lay with him and each one conceived and the oldest one had a son that then was the founder of Moab and the next one had a son who was the founder of Ammon. Our descendants became Ammon. So they were pretty closely kin to the people of Israel and Judea. They were cousins, you might say. And they were continually a thorn in the side. Sometimes they'd go over and possess some of the cities of in Judea, and then they'd get run out and back and forth, and a lot of problems. Well, he is given a prophecy here about their destruction. And we remember one of the close ties that Judea had with Moab was that Ruth came from Moab. And if I'm not mistaken, I may be mistaken, when I try to quote something from a genealogy and don't really know what I'm talking about, I think Ruth is in the genealogy. Is that right, of Christ? Kenneth's my authority on the genealogies. When we get through, I'm going to make a correction in the lesson we gave Sunday, and I'll explain that. Well, he begins by saying the burden of Moab. Now, we discovered a while ago that burden means the prophecy. Here's the prophecy now given to Moab, or about Moab, and it really is the burden of Moab. This is the burden Moab is going to have to bear. And we'll go through this first 15th chapter a little pretty fast because it's reading a lot of cities, as I said, and there's not a whole lot to know about these cities. Because in the night, Ar of Moab is laid waste and brought to silence. Because in the night, Kir of Moab is laid waste and brought to silence. He's gone up to Bajeth and to Dibon, the high places, to weep. Moab shall howl over Nebo and over Medeba, on all their heads shall be baldness and every beard cut off. He's just simply describing here a time of great persecution and destruction and defeat by the Moabites. And nobody knows exactly when this happened. It could be one of several times. The Assyrian armies invaded Moab several times. And it was probably one of those times about which he's speaking, but nobody knows exactly when, but it was within a three-year period of the time the prophecy was given. And he writes with such familiarity of these cities and these localities that no doubt the people of the day knew exactly what was happening and what was going to happen. Well, he shall howl over Nebo and over Medeba. Nebo, you know, is a mountain, it's a peak. Where Moses went whenever he went up to view the land when he died. We sang a song about Sweet Hour of Prayer and about Mount Nebo's towering peak. I view the land and take my flight or something of that nature. Well, he said, you're going to be howling over this mountain, weeping over this mountain. On all the heads shall be baldness and every beard cut off. Now, this baldness and having the beard cut off is a sign of shame, or of mourning, And he's just describing that that's the attitude of the people. In their streets they shall gird themselves with sackcloth. Sackcloth, again, is a mournful situation. On the tops of their houses and in their streets, everyone shall howl, weeping abundantly. Well, can you imagine people with on tops of the houses? This, of course, their houses had flat roofs and they were made to be on top of. Having sackcloth and howling and weeping abundantly. Everyone doing this and out in the streets. Having the sackcloth on, now the houses would be more of a private thing, and the streets would be out in the public. I believe one version says the streets would be out in the square, having the sackcloth on. And Heshbon shall cry, and Elealeh, their voice shall be heard even in Jahaz. Therefore the armed soldiers of Moab shall cry out, his life shall be grievous unto him. So even the armed soldiers of Moab would be most unhappy, defeated in this situation. He's going to cry out, and his life will be grievous unto him. What little life he might have left, because when a sweeping army comes through, if you're an armed soldier on the other side, there's not very much good going to happen to you. My heart shall cry out for Moab. His fugitives shall flee unto Zoar, an heifer of 3 years old. For by the mounting up of